Hello and welcome to the Circling the Bases podcast, proudly presented by NBC Sports Edge. My name is DJ Short, and with me here once again is Drew Silva. Just for reference, this is a taped version of the show. We're recording Thursday, November 11th. And Drew, this is kind of weird because I honestly can't remember the last time we did a show with just the two of us. I feel like we've had a guest every week, probably since our like position preview episodes. But I could be wrong, but I think we had a pretty good streak going.
I want to say there was one Thursday where we were just like, let's do it ourselves and list out some weekend streamers. But maybe we actually did wind up finding a guest that week.
Now that I don't remember.
I don't remember.
I mean, there's a lot of weeks in a baseball season, but it feels like it's been a long time.
Are you nervous to be alone with me?
Sort of.
Yeah,
I'm being honest, I'm a little bit nervous.
I get it.
It's nice to have that third person to riff off of. I have to say that.
It is. And if you're feeling like extra tired or not really into the subject, you can kind of just zone out and scroll through Twitter.
Yeah, right. Well, I feel like with this show this week, we're kind of like, is the phrase like whistling past the graveyard? That's kind of how I feel about baseball right now, because like we're talking about all like the free agents and all these amazing shortstops, this deep free agent class, but like looming in the background is December 2nd. And the sort of latest headlines are not very encouraging. But right before we were getting on here, you were mentioning about the CBA, like the latest leak of what MLB or the owners offered to the players was something about arbitration salary. I saw a little bit about it, but I don't know like the full details. I don't know how much you saw.
So the general gist of it, and this is just a floated report, who knows who leaked this information to The Athletic, but it's Ken Rosenthal and Evan Drellich and Eno Saris of The Athletic, who are all stand-up guys. But the idea is that the players' union wants to restructure the arbitration system. I think their main focus is shrinking the amount of years that you're in pre-arbitration and then arbitration so that you can get to free agency faster, so that there aren't these 29 and 30-year-old free agents who are never going to get paid long-term contracts. And so I guess the ownership side's proposed idea in this report is to determine a player's salary prior to free agency based off their FanGraphs wins above replacement number. So like war per dollars kind of calculations. First of all, I don't even really think it's worth breaking down how this would work, because I don't think it's a real proposal. I think this is like the ownership side version of kind of poking the bear almost, or like just throwing something against the wall that's going to get people talking. They're very good at controlling the narrative. I think they're going to control the narrative throughout this. Like if we talk about this all the time, if you look at Twitter responses to anything about the CBA, a lot of them are like the players are greedy and they shouldn't make as much money as they do. And I talk to like relatives all the time who don't follow it as closely as we do, who think the players make way too much money. And I'm like,
sure.
But you got to think about the money's going somewhere. It's an $8, $9, $10 billion business. Would you rather all the money go into the owner's pockets? I don't think this is a real idea. Maybe you do. I don't know. It's a cost cutting measure, and the owners are all about cutting costs, because you don't need the whole apparatus of having arbitrators who are, I guess, lawyers who are probably charging billable hours to determine salaries. You don't really need agents before a player hits free agency for real, because the player's, you know, salary is just determined by an algorithm. There's some of it that actually kind of makes sense on the surface, but when you play it out, it gets more and more ridiculous. Like, especially FanGraphs war puts a lot of emphasis on defense, and I think even the most nerded out analytical baseball fan would agree that defensive metrics are not very accurate. A lot of it is ultimate zone rating, which is kind of based off where you're standing when the ball is put in play, and the shifts mess that up. And so players that like make every routine play but don't have a ton of range, don't make big flashy plays, aren't going to have the best UZR. It's very complicated, that aspect of it. So I think I think it's almost like ownership's version of, we shouldn't cuss on here, but like S posting, you know?
Well, I think it's like, it's sort of a step in the right direction, because it's at least somewhat rewarding the right thing. Like, one of the big criticisms for a long time is like, in arbitration, you're going to get paid based off like RBIs and saves. So like, if we're moving more toward the advanced metrics, where maybe like, hey, a really valuable middle reliever is going to be rewarded. But the problem, and it's probably not worth going deep into, but like, if you know how pitchers are valued on like Baseball Reference WAR versus FanGraphs WAR, on FanGraphs, it's more based on like strikeouts, mm-hmm. Walks, and I believe like their home run rate. So like a pitcher like Robbie Ray gave up a ton of home runs this year. You know what I mean? Where he might not, he may be less valuable because of that. You know what I mean? So it's just throws everything out of whack, because Robbie Ray is going to win the Cy Young Award. You know what I mean? So like, a pitcher who throws a ton of innings and gets a lot of strikeouts, but may have a higher ERA, like, if they're going to be more valuable or close. And I think that's like murky territory.
Basically. Our own Matthew Pouliot, our guest last week, tweeted that if you think the game is slow now, imagine if pitchers knew they were essentially getting paid by the strikeout.
and exactly.
Potentially the inning. So yeah, it's silly. There's going to be a lot of this. My reaction, Ben Nicholson Smith was actually the first one to report about this general idea, and then the Athletic guys had a lot more details. But my reaction to it was like, wake me up in February when this is over, because there's going to be a lot of these kind of things tossed out there that aren't real. They're posturing. They're trying to get people talking, and I almost want to just fast forward and until it's all resolved. Hopefully it does get resolved in a somewhat timely manner. Yeah. I know that I've started to a little bit of a plan for writing our draft guide, and it's going to be complicated because that stuff is due around the beginning of the new year.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see when the magazine comes out. I guess it's sort of in a holding pattern a bit. But there's just so much up in the air right now. We have seen a little bit of action this week, so, you know, we'll go through a couple of headlines here, but we're also going to play a game this week, which I'm really looking forward to. I prepared some questions for Drew. The game is called Name That Free Agent. So that's coming up later in the show. But we've seen a surprising amount of chatter this week about free agents, which makes me think maybe there's going to be a rush, not a rush, but like maybe a handful of like legitimate high profile type of players who end up signing with teams this month. We already saw Andrew Heaney sign with the Dodgers, which I think is fascinating. He had a terrible finish with the Yankees, but he deserved better based on like advanced metrics, getting over to a team who has a knack for, I guess you could say, maybe reclamation projects. You know, we'll see what they have in mind for him, but I think it's a fine gamble on a 1-year contract.
Yeah, gave up a ton of homers, and that's kind of been his thing throughout his career, but especially when you put him at Yankee Stadium, it gets really ugly.
Yeah.
So maybe he's a little better off with the Dodgers. I don't know. Left-handed pitchers at Dodger Stadium, it's actually kind of homer-friendly for those types. But, yeah, it's fascinating that he got $8.5 million. And is he going to be assured of a rotation spot? I guess the Dodgers just have so much money that they don't really care. It's if he's their seventh starter, they're like, all right. They're going to need him at some point. Yeah. Not a ton of action. There were like a ton of rumors flying out of the GM meetings, but it's sort of the stuff that you could report it without even having any sources. Like Carlos Correa and Corey Seager are drawing a ton of interest. Steven Matz and Anthony Desclafani and John Gray, like those middle tier, Eduardo Rodriguez, those middle tier free agent starters are connected to a bunch of different teams. So it's pretty par for the course. Starling Marte is very popular with the Phillies, who had a horrible center field production last year. It all kind of writes itself. I do kind of get the vibe that some of those middle tier starters, like a Steven Matz, might get in before the CBA expires. There's probably an advantage to getting out ahead of this and beating the market, because maybe free agency will look a little different whenever they get the CBA resolved. For a guy like Matz, who finished strong in 2021, maybe it benefits him to just sign with a team and you know, tell teams, hey, get your final bids in now. I want to sign before the end of November.
And we always see, like, the big players are going to get paid. Sometimes it's like those middle tier free agents that kind of take a hit. So I think it does make sense for them to maybe get ahead of the market here. And at least see what's out there as far as teams that are going to compete. And it does seem like there's going to be maybe some teams who have been sitting things out recently who are going to spend this offseason, the Rangers, the Tigers, teams like that. So I think that makes this hot stove potentially more interesting with teams who are, you know, maybe starting to go for it a little bit, which is cool.
I'm intrigued by the Rangers. They have really come out and said, hey, we're going to get to a big market payroll like this winter. It's like, okay. I mean,
I don't know if they're ready for that or should be doing that, but okay.
I don't know either, but it's actually nice to hear a team say that, because most teams,
the Mariners are going to spend too. So like, I mean, the Mariners won what, 90 games. So like they were pretty close, but they certainly could use some upgrades. So yeah, it's cool to see these teams going for it for sure. The Angels looking for pitching as always. So
I could have written that report too.
Yeah. Well, it was interesting to see Scott Boras, of course, gave a ton of quotes yesterday. I wrote some of them down, which I will say in a minute. But he said yesterday, Wednesday, he had his whole the scrum with all the reporters, obviously, around him, like always, saying that he thinks like 17 teams max are actually competing. Do you think that's legit?
I haven't done my own counting. I would actually say fewer with just without doing the math. I mean, all right, we can go through it. Rays. Yeah. They might make some additions. Astros. Yeah. White Sox. Yeah. Red Sox. Probably Yankees. Of course. Blue Jays. Definitely. Mariners. Yeah. A's. No. Guardians. No. Angels. Sure. Yep. Tigers, yeah. All right, there's a lot in the AL, and then NL, Giants, Dodgers, Brewers, Cardinals, Braves, the Reds are selling, the Phillies will try, Padres, Mets, and then Rockies, Cubs, Marlins, Nationals, Pirates, Diamondbacks, no.
So it's right around 17.
Yeah, that's 18. Probably about right. He actually probably really did do the math.
Yeah, I think it's pretty fair. Or there's just kind of teams that maybe they're not tanking, but they're just kind of like, we're sitting here. We're not really doing anything one way or the other. That kind of feels like the Indians to me, or the Guardians. That, sorry, I have to get used to that.
They're not really the Guardians yet, but
yeah, that's true. That's true. But yeah, I don't know if they're going to be like trading off like Shane Bieber or Jose Ramirez. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like they're just going to sit and see where it lands.
Yeah, I would be shocked if they traded Jose Ramirez this winter. He's too team friendly on that deal, and they can trade him in the summer or even next winter and do just as well, probably. And they're pretty close to being an okay team if they just
That's the thing.
They can make Braves like additions and be pretty darn competitive in the AL Central.
Their pitching has a chance to be great next year. Yep, you know. So yeah, it won't take much to be in that wild card race, like we saw what the Mariners did. Mm-hmm. So they're certainly capable of it. I want to say some of these Scott Boras quotes in a second. Before I do that, the NFL season is in full swing and the NBC Sports Predictor app has you covered with Sunday Night 7. Predict what will happen between the Chiefs and Raiders on Sunday for a chance to win up to $100,000. It's free and easy to play. Download today from your app store or visit nbcsports.com/predictor. So Scott Boras was out like we just were talking about, Wednesday, talked about all of his clients, and he was prepared for the, like, the worst dad jokes. Like, as a dad, I'm offended by some of these. So I'm going to say a couple of them, and these are real. These are real quotes. So Scott Boras on Nick Castellanos.
I like the clearing of the throat. Yeah.
I advised all of you 2 years ago that old Saint Nick was going to bring a lot of presents to Cincinnati. Frankly, we're just going to sit back and see what teams have been naughty and nice. All right.
Insert groan.
Yeah. Scott Boras on Max Scherzer. I think that teams that are pursuing a championship are not pursuing the minimum. They're taking it to the max. Okay. Scott Boras on Chris Bryan. The Chris Bryan one is, man, this is, oof.
It's a stretch.
Scott Boras on Chris Bryan. Did he have paper in front of him? Was he reading this off note cards?
I just saw him standing there in at that Carlsbad, California hotel outside.
Did he have a teleprompter?
No, not the scrum is too big for a teleprompter. One of those white Nike wearing baseball reporters would have knocked it over.
Okay, so Scott Boras on Chris Bryant. He's kind of the Sean Connery of baseball. He has position versatility, which makes him untouchable. He has Bond-like abilities to create a great middle of the lineup. He's always red hot in the hunt for October. He's an extraordinary gentleman in a league of his own.
Did he hire Chris Crawford as his copywriter?
I know, seriously. There's more. This is not good. Okay. Scott Boras on Corey Seager. The Seagers are used to being on big stages and have a lot of hits. It's Bob Seager. Corey is like a rock. And of course his parents knew this because they named him Corey, like quarry, quarry. No.
Wait, he said that?
Yeah. Like he meant like Corey, like quarry.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't see that.
That's when you got to explain it. Okay. Scott Boras on Marcus Semien. He kind of brings a charge to the batter's box and he insulates the middle infield. He's truly a modern day Semien conductor.
I didn't get this one, and I didn't bother to look at it. What is a Semien conductor?
Does he mean like semiconductor? Semiconductor? Like a battery or something?
Oh, okay.
I guess. I don't know. Scott Boras on Michael Conforto. He's basically become the king of queens. In free agency now, he's kind of like the ace of many GM's hearts. Yeah, he's done better. Scott Boras on Carlos Rodon. When you think about sculpting a pitching staff, you're thinking, man, the target without a doubt is Rodon. And I had to look that up because there was a painter, a sculptor named August Rodin, and he made a sculpture called The Thinker.
Maybe he hired Dennis Miller as his copywriter.
Seriously.
Did you see Sandy Alderson's response to
Boras? It was, I don't. There's got to be some bad blood there between the two of them. I think he said
he was like he's a blowhard in a house of cards, which seemed kind of unnecessary.
Yeah, I know that was a little rough. All
right. Let me get your 30-second take on the Mets situation. 30 seconds.
Only 30 seconds?
45.
So I think this person that they're pursuing right now, Adam Cromie, he seems like a pretty smart dude.
Mm-hmm.
And a pretty capable person. So it's not really a criticism on him. It's more like, how did the Mets get here that this was where they went to? You know, that's kind of where I am. So if they hire him, like maybe he'll be great. And there's this person from the Nats, and sorry, his name's escaping me right now.
He was Sam Mondry Cohen.
Yeah. And he seems like really smart and like a really interesting person. And they work together with the Nationals and were heavily involved in analytics. Like they might be really good. it's just like the process that is just so strange to me. And no matter what, they're just going to be in prove it mode, you know, from the start. There's going to be so much pressure there. So in a way, like, of course you take it, like if you're those guys, and if it turns out to be Cromy, we'll see. Of course you take that opportunity. You know, he was a junior attorney or whatever at the law firm that he's at, Jones Day, mm-hmm. which is like one of the biggest law firms in the country. But it's going to be a lot of pressure, you know, and they may replace him in 1 year, you know? So it's a weird situation, man.
And the reports that they're like waiting for David Stearns, the Brewers president, GM, for his contract to come up. It's like, these are just like Ivy League guys, not to discredit them. And it's impressive that they are economics majors from Ivy League schools, but there's like a lot of them that you could elevate through your own system, which is what a lot of teams do. And when we started talking about this, I wanted to bring up the David Stearns reaction to it, because he told John Heyman of MLB Network that he was uncomfortable with the reports that were saying, oh, the Mets are waiting for Stearns, because Stearns is not
even. What are you supposed to say? Right. What are you supposed to say?
I noticed that Heyman deleted the tweets because I responded to them, and now they're gone. And I mean, Heyman said in one of the tweets, oh, I was going to take a picture of him, but like, I thought that would be rude. So he was talking face to face to Stearns, and Stearns was probably like, hey dude, can you delete those tweets? Like I've not even talked to the Mets, because he hasn't been allowed permission to talk to them. So it's all the reporting of it and the way the candidate list has come out and then been scratched off and scratched off. I find it very strange.
Yeah, every day there's a new leak, which makes them look worse.
Right.
And when the names come out, they're usually always from like a Mets either beat reporter or like, I don't want to say like blogger in like a negative way, but a Mets connected person. Mm-hmm. And then the national reporters usually come out and say like they've either been denied permission or they would like to stay. Like this has been going on for like 3 weeks, and it's just made them look worse and worse. I think from the start, they should have just tried to keep this as close to the vest as possible. And even like internally, shouldn't you eventually realize like, hey, we're like a joke, like maybe we should stop, but they can't help themselves.
I don't know. And then really, it hasn't changed from, you know, the different ownerships. Like this is kind of how the Wilpons were too. I don't think they were the best people, or their PR people were not the best at their jobs necessarily for the way that they allowed stories to leak out and fester. They just like never got ahead of anything or like thought a few moves ahead. So I don't, maybe it's their PR department or something, or like they have too many sources out there. Yeah. I think that's probably part of it, is there's just too many reporters covering New York baseball, and the Yankees are interesting in one way and the Mets are interesting in a whole nother way. And it just attracts craziness.
And Mets fans are so like passionate. Mm-hmm. That it's just like a buzzsaw with like anything that happens. So it's like a perfect storm of chaos like every day right now. So, and I'm fighting with like both sides of Mets Twitter right now, people saying I'm too soft on them or I'm like too hard on them. So I'm kind of like, I'm doing something right then if I'm like making both sides angry, I think.
I guess, yeah.
I'm cool with that. So do we want to play this game?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
I don't really know what I'm getting into. It's called Name That Free Agent.
Yes, it's going to be fun. I promise. So yes, it is time for Name That Free Agent. So we've done a game show before, but this time I wanted to make it official with game show music. So, basically, yeah, I'm going to come up with a statistic for a particular free agent. Drew will try to guess who this player is. You're not going to win anything other than like my respect. All right, the first question, and this might be easy. I don't know. We'll see.
So these are all free agents. I'm giving
these are all free agents.
Okay, yes. Based off some kind of factoid you're going to give me.
Yes.
All right.
So this free agent outfielder and postseason hero led the majors in average home run distance this season. I gave you a clue. Postseason hero.
Adam Duvall?
No.
What a bad guess.
You're on the right team, though.
Jorge Soler.
Yes.
All right.
Led all qualified hitters.
Duvall's
in
not
average
a
home run distance.
They declined his option, but he's arbitration eligible.
Yeah, so he's still under team control.
Yep.
So, yes, Jorge Soler, 423 feet average home run distance this season.
I like and that. That's fun.
Yeah, I think he's going to be a good signing for someone. I really do. After what he did down the stretch with the Braves, he just totally changed his approach.
Yeah.
I think, you know, he's not a good fielder, so... But that might not matter if there's the universal DH. So.
He's been incredibly up and down even since he was a Cub. But you know that 40 homer power is in there somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay, second question. I prepared 11 questions. I don't know why I picked 11, but that's what I got to before my kids interrupted me. Right. So, number two. This shortstop was tied for the major league lead in defensive runs saved this past season, tied with Pirates catcher Jacob Stallings, who's not a free agent, but Stallings won his first Gold Glove award, right? Over Molina, Posey. Pretty impressive for Stallings. So, so free agent shortstop. There's five of them that are, or six if you count Andrelton Simmons, but it's not him.
Five very prominent ones. Trying to think of which one was the best defender. They're all pretty good. Trevor Story.
No.
Carlos Correa.
Yeah, it's Correa. All
right.
That's why I'm like, I think he'd be, I know most people are connecting the Yankees to Corey Seager, it feels like, but I think Correa would be perfect for the Yankees. I don't know if it'll happen because, like, Seager feels more like a Yankee to me.
I don't know. Correa, a tall shortstop, tall, lanky shortstop. I guess Seager's the same way, but.
And there is, like, the history of, like, Astros, Yankees, and all that stuff, but I don't know. I think Correa would make the Yankees so much better.
Yeah. No, I think he would look great in pinstripes.
So this one's a little harder. Okay. Aaron Loop posted the lowest ERA among all free agent pitchers this season, 0.95. Which veteran reliever was second lowest, 1.55?
Is that Andrew Chafin?
He pitched. No, but he also this guy also pitched in the playoffs. Pitched in the playoffs. Former starting pitcher. Former Met.
Can you read the question again?
Aaron Loop posted the lowest ERA among all free agent pitchers this season, 0.95. Which veteran reliever was second lowest at 1.55?
Man, I mean it.
He's like a sleeper free agent.
Right. I feel like I should know. Like, I should have written something about him already. I mean, there's Raisel Iglesias, there's Kenley Jansen. Those are not them.
It's not a closer.
Right.
That's another clip.
Kendall Graveman? No.
It's close. It's Colin McHugh.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, he got off to a rough start this season. Basically, from, I believe it was like May on, he was just totally nails. He was awesome. He's good. He's good.
All right,
that was I don't know if the Rays will keep him, but he's going to be a good signing wherever he goes. This is another sneaky free agent, I think, but I don't think he's going to go anywhere. I don't think he's leaving where he is now, which might be deceiving what I'm about to say. This free agent first baseman has the fourth highest OPS among players with at least 500 plate appearances dating back to the start of last season.
All right.
It's not Freddie Freeman.
Right, I know.
That's the deceiving part.
And he's a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. This free agent first baseman has the fifth highest OPS?
fourth highest OPS among players with at least 500 plate appearances dating back to the start of last season. I was shocked to see this.
Anthony Rizzo? No.
Bryn Belt.
Wow, that makes sense. Oh, that's a good question. Man, I don't even think of Brandon Belt as a free agent.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think he's leaving San Francisco. I'd be really surprised if he did. But he has been sneaky awesome. I know he's been like hurt here and there. Maybe that's why it's kind of under the radar. But man, he's been a new level. Kind of like the player we've been waiting for like 10 years.
Yeah, he might as well try to cash in.
Yeah. Yeah. So this is another sneaky question here, but it's basically you got a 50-50 shot here. This Long Island, New York native posted a 2.91 ERA over 14 starts during the second half.
Steven Matt?
Correct. It is Steven Matz. Sort of underrated, I think. You already mentioned him a little bit, but he's getting some love on the free agent market right now, which is
Cardinals,
nice.
Dodgers, Angels were talked about this afternoon as being potential landing spots.
Yeah, he's not striking out as many batters, but he was really good in the second half. Marcus Stroman, also from Long Island, had a 3.36 ERA during the second half. He had a great year. Keeps the ball on the ground. Was just very consistent all year long. I think, obviously, Stroman's going to get a bigger contract, but Matt's undervalued. If healthy, he's really good.
Matt showed up at the GM meetings, and Tim Healy of Newsday was saying that he's a guy that could sign this month. So something to watch for there. I think he'd be a great fit for the Cardinals. I kind of want them to go after Stroman a little bit more because I really like him long term. Like I think you could feel good about giving him a long term deal. Matt's has been a little bit inconsistent, but certainly finished the year strong in Toronto and stands to do very well for himself.
Okay, so our next question. Free agent Starling Marte led all major league players in stolen bases this season. We know that. But which player was second among free agents in stolen bases this season? Second among free agents.
Is this sneaky? What do you describe it as?
I wouldn't say it's sneaky.
Man.
He's a very good player.
Trevor Story. No?
It's Trevor Story, yep.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, and I think I'm just trying to reinforce, like, you know, maybe you're worried about Coors Field. Maybe you think he had a bad year. Like, he did have an underwhelming year for his usual standards. So let's go to our next question. Among players who had at least 100 plate appearances in the second half, which free agent had the highest on-base percentage? It was .435. And it is not Freddie Freeman.
Marcus Semien.
No.
435 OBP in the second half.
At least 100 plate appearances. So probably if this player had played more, it probably wouldn't be that high.
So a smaller sample size. Kyle Schwarber?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Nice.
Corey Seager was second, .417. Freddie Freeman, .407. So Schwarber, 168 plate appearances, which isn't like small.
Yeah.
He's a great fit for a DH.
Yep.
Very undervalued as well. And I think I said this last week, or reminded last week, non-tendered last offseason by the Cubs, which is crazy to think about. So this is kind of a hard question. This might be the hardest question I'm going to ask you. We talked about Andrew Heaney earlier. And clearly the Dodgers see something here. He had the widest gap among all qualified free agent starters between his ERA and his xERA. He had a 5.83 ERA and a 4.01 xERA. So he deserved better. But my question is, which pitcher had the second widest gap in terms of deserving better? So high ERA, but xERA said they deserve better. Heaney had the largest gap, almost 1.8 difference between ERA and xERA. But this pitcher, second widest gap.
Marcus Stroman. Oh, I thought that would be an easy one.
Eduardo Rodriguez.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So 4.74 ERA, 3.55 xERA. The peripherals were very good. And I think Matthew Pouliot mentioned last week, the youngest free agent. So he's going to do really well. It's going to be really fascinating to follow. I think the Angels were mentioned with Rodriguez, right?
Tigers. Angels, Tigers is what I've heard so far.
And I'm sure Red Sox, too. They're going to do everything they can to keep him. Really good pitcher.
Stroman would be the opposite of that, where his xERA is higher because, I don't know, the Mets defense wasn't – or I guess that doesn't bear out that way. But, yeah, anyway, I was thinking kind of opposites.
Yeah.
But no, that's a good note. Yeah, Eduardo Rodriguez is fascinating. I mean, a really reliable, if not sometimes dominant pitcher before the myocarditis that came out of COVID. I think he's going to be a really nice get for some team. Maybe on kind of a shorter term deal because his overall numbers from 2021 weren't like ace-like.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, maybe outside of the AL East, what he could be.
Yeah.
You know, so it's going to be interesting to follow that. This is I guess it could be considered tough, but I wanted to highlight something with this. So, okay, this free agent slugger had a I'm just going to read it this way. This free agent slugger had an 1109 OPS with 23 home runs at home this past season compared to a pedestrian 772 OPS with 11 home runs on the road. He plays in a very nice hitter's park. Who is this player?
And he's a free agent. Nick Castellanos?
Yes.
Yes. Doing well. So, I think I'm doing well.
Yeah. You're doing good. I thought this was tough, but you know, it's kind of I wouldn't say it's like a word of warning, but you know, Great American Ballpark is such a great place to hit. He's never really had a home park like that before, where he could thrive. So, you know, I'm sure teams will take into account, you know, what their stadium's like. I mean, I've heard Castellanos linked to the Marlins, which could be, I mean, I would love to see the Marlins sign some free agents this offseason. I don't really care if Castellanos isn't, you know, wasn't a great road hitter last season, but the numbers were very, very different. So
yeah, I would love to see the Marlins get a guy like that, but they might be better off spreading it around a bit.
Yeah.
If they're going to commit 100 plus million to somebody or multiple people.
So this is this one's kind of surprising. Okay. Marcus Semien hit 45 home runs this past season, the most among all free agents. But this veteran third baseman hit the second most. Who is this player?
Kyle Seager?
His brother, yes. Okay. I can say his brother is also a free agent. Yeah, Kyle Seager. 35 home runs for Kyle Seager, and
that came at a real good time for him because he has sort of been mediocre for a long time.
Yeah, he's a pretty good third baseman too.
He is, yeah.
You know, the power was nice, but like, you know, quality of a hitter at this point, I don't really know. Like the batting line isn't overly impressive, but certainly worth keeping an eye on from a fantasy perspective, I think.
If it was like 15 years ago, coming off a 35 homer, 101 RBI season at age 34, he would get a nice payday. I worry about how well he's going to do in this modern era of discounting any player who's over the age of 30.
Yeah, it seems like he's not returning to the Mariners. It seems like there's definitely some bad blood there. So apparently him and Jerry Dipoto haven't even talked to each other in like years. So not great. Okay. Our last question, and this is a tough one. Among relievers who threw at least 40 innings this past season, Craig Kimbrell and Raisel Iglesias were tops among free agents in strikeout percentage. Who ranks third on this list?
So Kimbrell and who is
Raisel Iglesias? 1 and 2 in strikeout percentage. This is just relievers who threw at least 40 innings this season.
Okay.
This pitcher finished the season on an NL West contender? Yeah.
I'm not going to get this one. He finished this. Wait, give me one more hint if you could. He finished on an NL West contender.
He was on the Nationals.
And then finished. Daniel Hudson.
Yes.
Yes.
I would have never guessed that until looking it up. But yeah, I wanted to find some of these free agents who are kind of like, maybe on first glance, you're not overly impressed, but like Hudson, the highest strikeout percentage of his career, 35.7%, had a 3.31 ERA in 51 and two thirds innings. Really good. Yeah. I know like injuries have been present for him. During the Nationals World Series season, he was really good. Last year in the shortened season, he was hurt and he was really bad. But yeah, really, really good.
Yeah, if the CBA wasn't looming over this winter, and we talked about it on kind of our hybrid offseason preview show, this we'd be raving about this free agent class. We haven't had this deep a free agent class in a long time. A long time. I want to say like, you know, in the last decade.
Yeah,
because Andrew Heaney was like just inside the top 50 of Pouliot's top 111 free agents, and he got $8.5 million.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, there you can go down the list. Tommy Pham is out there. He's like I just pulled up his top 111. Aaron Loop's 54. You know, yeah, there's a lot to like with a ton of these guys. Even when you go down to like number 100 on the list,
you know, something I found pretty interesting about like these different free agent lists from, you know, different publications, and they give their predictions on like salaries and stuff. I think it was in the New York Post the other day, and they said Aaron Loop is going to get a 3-year, $27 million contract. And I was just like, what? I mean, if so, like, good for him. You know what I mean? But like, yeah. It seems like a lot.
The Mets got him for $3 million last January.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, good for him.
I don't know. I mean, I hope he gets it, you know, but man, it seems like a lot. But if a reliever who, you know, is basically like a on the fringe top 50 free agents is getting $9 million per, you know, that's telling you the kind of money that might get thrown around.
Right.
It's kind of hard to say right now, but yeah, some of these – you know, free agent prediction salaries are just like all over the place. So it's going to be pretty interesting. Hopefully next week on the show, we will have some signings to talk about. I think we will. Pretty good feeling about that. Whether we have a guest next week, I don't know. But Drew, you did a good job.
What did I
with these questions?
Yeah, what did I do? Like eight for 11, maybe?
I don't think it was quite that high.
I think it was that high.
I think it was like six out of 11.
No, dude.
No, it was still good. I was afraid they were too hard. So you did a good job. You did a good job.
Well,
you've gained my respect. After all these years, you finally gained my respect.
I need to quiz you one of these weeks. I feel like we're going to have a lot of
time. Let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you're right about that. But this was fun. Yeah. Next week, we'll have to think about what we're going to talk about. Hopefully we have some signings. Maybe we have a guest. Maybe we won't. I don't know.
If we have nothing, let me come up with a game similar to name that free agent
and yeah. Quiz
you. All right.
We can use the same music. We have the rights to it. We can use it anytime we want. So we should.
We paid top dollar for those rights.
Yes. So before we go, we have a special offer for our listeners and viewers. You can use promo code BASES10 for 10% off any premium subscription for NBC Sports Edge Plus. It works across all sports, which is especially relevant with football, basketball and hockey well underway. It's a great value and we'll be there to help you whenever baseball ends up being played next year. Fingers crossed. It's really worth having all year long, so get on board today. Remember, it's promo code BASES10. You can go to nbcsportsedge.com/premium to get started. Any final words, Drew?
Figure it out, owners and players. We got a magazine to write.
I know. Yeah, I'm already like starting. So
me too. And I I think I've grown up where I'm not going to save it all for the last 2 weeks.
Right.
Well, we're doing a delayed honeymoon in New Orleans, November 20th to 26th. So I want to like at least have something on paper before I take a full week off.
Right. Yeah. When like Thanksgiving comes around, I start getting like anxious. So I'm going to try to do a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be crunch time for us no matter what. But if you like what you're hearing with this show, Circling the Bases, be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please rate and review. Follow us on Twitter if you don't already. I'm at DJ Short. Drew is at Drew Silve. Be safe out there, and we will see you next time.